Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Public File. My name is Kat Modrew. My guest for this part of The Public File program, longtime friend, Amber Stott with the with Food Literacy, the Food Literacy Program. She's the executive director, but we prefer her other title, Chief Food Genius.
Yep.
Who gave you that title?
Me.
Good answer. Me, silly. Amber, it's great to see you, and it's always great to hear about food literacy. You open eyes every time you talk about what you do, because the plight that you talk about and the plight that you try to fight against shouldn't be happening in areas like our community.
Absolutely, yeah. Sacramento has a 40% childhood obesity rate.
40%?
Yeah. Well, 1 in 3 of our kids has type 2 diabetes, which is the preventable kind. Mm. A lot of these diet-related diseases that our kids are facing, you know, used to be adult diseases, and it's preventable if we eat our vegetables. But we have 2 generations of Americans that don't know how to select or cook with many vegetables.
2 generations.
2 generations.
Shame on us.
Yep. It's our grandmas with that knowledge. And we haven't necessarily passed it on because of the, you know, quick and easy stuff that we have access to nowadays, a lot of which doesn't have vegetables. So,
well, it's kind of also embarrassing to be talking about a lack of knowledge of fruits and vegetables in the farm to fork capital of the world.
Absolutely.
Tragic.
We have the access here,
yes,
and we need to do something about that.
So that's what the Food Literacy Center does. Talk about your organization.
Sure. Our mission is to inspire kids to eat their vegetables. And we do that by going into low-income schools and working with after-school programs to teach elementary school kids cooking and nutrition.
I love it. And when you say kids, what are the ages?
Elementary, so K through 6.
And they are little sponges and love the information.
Oh, yeah. It is adorable. We have kids who are loving and falling in love with things like beets and broccoli. And we have kids truly who have never seen things like broccoli and pears and avocados before. And this is their first exposure when they come to food literacy class.
Wow. And so you get out there and you teach them, and they go home and spread the word.
Absolutely. And 70% of our parents tell us that they love buying the things that the kids go home and request. So we know our kids are asking for it, and we know that the families are buying it.
So define the term food literacy.
We define food literacy as understanding the impact of your food choices on your health, environment, and also economy. And so what that looks like for an elementary school kid is their own health, talking to them about, you know, what foods make us feel sleepy and which foods give us energy for school. When we talk about the environment, you know, if we've just spent money on a bunch of carrots, did you know that you can also eat the green leafy part? And we teach them, you know, not only will this be good for your health, it will help stretch your food budget, and will also be good for the planet. So we talk about the economy and the environment in those ways.
That's
so
awesome.
So little kids can understand it.
I love that you have a term, don't yuck my yum, because you have got to come up again. I mean, I know adults who will look at something they've never tried and go, no thanks, I don't care for it. So you come up against these kids who, to your point, have never seen, you know, broccoli, never mind cactuses and other things that you introduce to them. How do you get them to taste something that is foreign and, you know, isn't sweet and sugary and bad for you?
Totally, yeah. So we do something called produce of the day,
uh-huh,
where every single class we're bringing in a new and different piece of produce for the kids to try, whether that's a pineapple guava or something like cactus. We're trying to shake them out of their comfort zone and turn them into what we call food adventurers. And you're absolutely right. Kids' first reaction is to always say, ew, gross, to something that they've never seen before. So our rule is, don't yuck my yum.
Love it.
The thing that you don't like may be your neighbor's very favorite thing, and we don't want to hurt people's feelings.
Mm-hmm. We have something, my kids are grown now, but we always had the no thank you bite. Don't tell, uh-huh, me that you don't like what mom made until you've tasted it. If you taste it and then don't care for it, that's fine. But, you know, you have a no thank you bite or thank you for cooking bite.
Exactly. So. Yeah, and we ask the kids that. We'll say, how do you know you don't like it? Have you tasted it? So.
And you teach them preparation as well, as is age appropriate.
Yeah, we use these great little plastic knives, and the kids all chop, and they love to use, you know, the box graters to grate carrots and other vegetables. So yeah, that's very hands-on, which is great because it's after school. And so we want this information to stick. And the more kids are working with their hands, the more they're going to remember that. And it's, you know, it's very tactile for an itty-bitty child.
Yes. If you're just joining me, my guest is Amber Stott, Chief Food Genius for the Food Literacy Center here in the Sacramento area. Are you a unique program, or are there programs like this in other areas?
We are pretty unique. Uh-huh. However, you do see these types of programs popping up around the country. I'll get a call every once in a while from Austin or Boston, folks that are starting these types of programs, you know, in food literacy itself is only 7 years old. And mm-hmm. when I started the nonprofit, I actually wrote the definition of the term. It didn't exist back then. Mm-hmm. And so it's still very, very new, but people are starting to understand this impact of the use of tasting education and cooking programs to help with health prevention. And so you do see them popping up. And of course, Alice Waters, the pioneer who started it in Berkeley, you know, a couple of decades ago, and was sort of doing it solo. And now it is having ripple effects.
I love it. I just did a podcast interview with Chef Patrick Mulvaney of Mulvaney's B&L. And we talked about how the nation is looking at this region with regards to farm to fork. And I said, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And he says, it's a good thing. We wouldn't have things like the Food Literacy Center. He called you out by name, you know, with the, you know, the light being shown on this. Important nonprofits are also getting their moment in the sun. So that was pretty cool.
It's fantastic. And we have amazing partnerships with a lot of chefs in our community. We're very fortunate. They understand what we're trying to do mm-hmm. because they see it with their customers yes. every day as well. And so we're grateful for some of those partnerships. And folks like One Speed Water Boy, they actually have menu items where when you purchase it, they'll make a donation for a portion of that dish back to Food Literacy Center.
That is so awesome. That's your Dine Smart, Dine yes. and Donate program.
Yep. Yeah. And there's more information about that on our website at foodliteracycenter.org.
So three reasons your program works. We talked a little bit about this, but let's get a little deeper into it. Prevention. And there's a quote here. I've seen my daughter's peers grow up burdened by childhood obesity. They didn't have food literacy in their schools like she did. I'm grateful she did. She's healthy and happy. That's the mom of a student.
Yes. Yep. And this is really important. You know, we think about this in terms of brushing our teeth. You wouldn't wait until your kid had a cavity to teach right. them to brush their teeth.
Seems so basic.
Yeah. Yeah. We think we can skip and make a pass on vegetables. And that's kind of what you're doing to the inside of your body like you would be doing if you never brushed your teeth. Mm. So you want to make sure that you're eating those fruits and vegetables because it's health prevention. We want to get to these kids before they have diet-related diseases so that they can build up these healthy habits because they'll have them the rest of their lives.
Exactly.
And they'll grow up healthy and happy, like that mom said.
So if it's a challenge economically, I think that's a misconception that fresh produce is expensive, and it really isn't, correct?
Yeah, and what really happens is that when you're on food stamps, and the large majority of the children we're serving are on food stamps, or CalFresh, as they call it in California, what happens is you're not going to take a big risk with your food dollars on buying something you're uncertain whether your kids will eat or not.
Got it.
So if you have more money, you're going to bring home three or four vegetables and, oh, see which one does Johnny like. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have that amount of money to play with and to risk, you're going to stick to calories you know will be eaten. Mm-hmm. So that's where our produce of the day and our tasting education comes in to play at Food Literacy Center, is that we're taking on that burden mm-hmm. and we're playing around with
awesome.
The fruits and vegetables.
Mom,
with
I do
kids.
Like spinach. Buy spinach. I like it.
Exactly. And right? when the kids then do go home and say, I know I like spinach, then the parents are excited to do it because they know their kids need fruits and mm-hmm. vegetables. Mm-hmm. They just want to make sure when they buy it, it's going to get eaten and not thrown out.
Talk about the term, and it's also frequently in lower socioeconomic neighborhoods of the food desert.
Yeah, so that is a phrase coined by the USDA to explain neighborhoods that don't have access to the traditional type of grocery store that you and I think of. Oftentimes, you might have a bodega where, you know, they're selling liquor and cigarettes and maybe some bananas and milk and those kinds of things. So it's a mishmash, and there's not a true produce section. Mm-hmm. And so if that's the main place when maybe you don't own a car and you're reliant on public transportation, you know, and it takes two or three bus stops to get to a proper grocery store, then you're hauling that back, just what you can carry in your hands. You know, it again starts to limit people's options and choices when it comes to the foods that they buy.
So what do we do with those kids? That's a double bang because they want to make sure they spend their money on foods that the kids will like, but then they start to like these wonderful types of produce and they're hard to access.
Absolutely. So we
I know you've thought this through.
Yes, we have. several things at play here. One is that the kids we're serving, because they are low income, they are actually eating three meals a day at school. So 5 days a week, they do have access to fresh fruits and vegetables. Our schools have beautiful salad bars, but the kids aren't necessarily eating what's on the salad bar because the school doesn't have money to provide taste education. Mm-hmm. And so we provide our programs for free in these schools, and we partner with the school district so that the vegetables that we're providing in food literacy class are actually ending up on the salad bar so that those kids Perfect. See the things that they're familiar with. And I'll give you an example of why this is important. We once had zucchini sticks on the school salad bar, and the kids saw them, and a few of them took them, and they said, there's something wrong with the cucumbers today.
Oh, gosh.
Because they didn't know what a zucchini was.
Right.
And so, of course, you're going to think your cucumber tastes weird and throw it out if there's no taste education to explain. No, this is a different vegetable. It's called a zucchini, and that's why it tastes different. So so that's really important. And so that's one piece of access. The second piece of access is we actually will work directly with the food bank, with Soilborne Farms, and we will do little, for example, this holiday season, we're doing a kids' farmers market. So at the end of class, the kids get to shop for fruits and vegetables to take home with them.
Oh.
And we do that about once a month at some of our schools where we do a little produce drive in partnership with the food bank and Soilborne.
It's all so, so good. My guest is Amber Stott, Chief Food Genius with the Food Literacy Center. The other factor or the other puzzle piece is I struggle with this sometimes. I think jicama is delicious, but I don't know how to prepare it.
Absolutely.
So you get an eggplant and you take it home, and unless you know what to do with an eggplant, it's just this funky looking bulb, right?
100%.
So you teach the kids how to prepare it.
Yes. Yep. And we're trying to use a big variety of fruits and vegetables, something new and different every single week. And we're trying to use what's in season because what's in season
awesome.
Is also cheaper.
Yes.
You know, and there's also a lot of great deals at our farmers markets that we also teach our kids about where they will match what you spend in food stamps. They'll actually give you money back. So say you spent $10, they might give you $5 back. So that's important too. And we are doing that. We're teaching the kids to make a wide range of foods and using a broad variety of vegetables and showing them, like, this is the end you chop. This is the end you can eat. Seeds you maybe throw out.
Fair questions.
Yeah.
In the time that the Food Literacy Center has been around, how many kids have you touched?
Oh, my goodness.
Approximately.
It has been over 20,000 a year.
Oh my gosh.
And
times seven.
Well, in the beginning, our first year I know we served 120 kids.
Oh my gosh. But up to 20,000 a year. So
yep.
that's amazing.
Thank you.
And that goes to the next topic, empowerment. This is the first health class where everyone wanted seconds, a teacher who observed the program for the first time.
Yes. And this is so funny. Like, I had a kid tell me that they were receiving some type of nutrition education at their school where he described it that there was a lady who would come with something like an orange and stand in front of the class and tell them all the vitamins that were in it and tell them they should eat it and then leave. And they never got to touch the orange. They never got to eat the orange.
Smell it. Yeah.
He did not like that class at all. And Food Literacy Center shows up and, you know, we're not only telling them, hey, we've got oranges and we think you should eat them because they're great for your body, but now you're going to cut them and you're going to turn them into a delicious salad. And the kids love it. They actually tell us that their favorite part of food literacy class is trying new fruits and vegetables.
Well, yeah. And cutting and being involved, not just looking and reading and hearing.
Yeah.
And your team is just so passionate and so fun. You came into our intercom studios to get us excited about something and we're a bunch of jaded grownups. And by the end, the place was just having a fabulous time with the puns and the the food and the you had us taste food also.
Yes.
You had us taste some unique fruits and vegetables.
Absolutely. And that is part of our culture at Food Literacy Center is that we show up with joy because these junk food companies have an advantage on us. They have cartoon characters. They have all the marketing benefits. So we do the same with fruits and vegetables. We show up with joy. We wear our green broccoli logo t-shirts and we just come in and we are happy and the kids are drawn to that energy. and they fall in love with vegetables just like we do.
Here's a quote about education, which is our next topic. This is from a third grader. Sugar doesn't give us as much energy as whole grains. Boom!
Yes. These kids are super smart. And like you mentioned earlier, they're sponges. So the things that we teach them,
they go home and tell your parents.
They absolutely do. And you'll hear them repeating them to their teachers and to each other. So it's quite wonderful when you hear a kid describe fiber as, you know, a broom that sweeps out your body.
Yes, nature's broom. Love it. So I can only imagine what your biggest challenges are keeping this nonprofit going. It says it costs only $186. Per child. That's $15.50 a month, and keeping the boat afloat is a challenge, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Especially because there are so many kids with need, and we're trying to reach as many as we can. We've been able to grow by about 2 schools a year, which is, you know, steady growth, in my heart, I wish we could grow much faster because there's so many kids out there. And right now we have 400 kids who are not funded that we are providing food literacy education to. And we would like to get those kids funded by the end of the year so that we can continue these programs and then go into more schools.
Well, so as we speak, Giving Tuesday just happened. And to your point, before we crack the mics, we have all of December, and December is such a generous giving time. Yes. And on your website, you've and have a wish list. Of course, money always helps because it can go where needed, but these are practical things. It's something that a program that teaches kids to cook needs. Grocery gift store cards, aprons, kids' craft supplies, linens, serving platters, knives, cutting boards, measuring cups.
And we actually have an Amazon wish list.
Oh,
and
perfect.
You can buy the actual specific things that we use in our classroom. And if you use smile.amazon.com and you select Food Literacy Center as your charity, we actually get a percentage of your purchase as a donation back from Amazon.
That is fantastic. Stackable food storage containers, collapsible luggage carts, because you roll in, present, and roll it all back out.
Yep, we're like pop-up caterers. Only the kids do the cooking.
That is fantastic. How can people get involved? I know you're looking, there's all kinds of great ways to volunteer, whether it's administrative or getting your hands dirty and hanging with the kids from A to Z. Talk about volunteer options.
Absolutely. So we mentioned earlier we're in 8 schools a week and reaching right now 850 kids every week, about 20,000 kids a year. And we do that with 4 staff. So we really rely on volunteers. So we train some community members as what we call food geniuses. That's how I became the chief food genius.
Chief food genius.
So the food geniuses are the folks that we train to teach in our classrooms. But then they're accompanied by non-food genius volunteers who simply are there to make sure the kids know which end of the carrot to chop and which part of the apple core to toss.
Set up, execute, and clean up. Right?
Exactly. Right? So, you know, like this week we are making a recipe and the kids are hand rolling homemade tortillas.
Oh my gosh.
And we need a crew of volunteers who are helping to flip them on the griddle so that the kids can get a warm tortilla in enough time before class ends. So we always need volunteers for that kind of thing in our office, you know, licking envelopes, helping us keep spreadsheets in order, anything and everything. We are very volunteer driven nonprofit.
So when you talk about weekly, you see these kids on once a week, right?
Correct, for the whole semester.
And can they just not stand it when they know it's the day that you guys are coming in? They're so excited.
Oh, we get greeted like rock stars. It's food literacy today. And they come running, giving us high fives, and it's fantastic. Yeah.
So you just talked about a recipe, how to make a homemade tortilla. If I had $1 million in front of me, I would not know how to make a tortilla. Talk about some of the different recipes that you offer, and they're not just basic stuff. You guys get into cool things.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and we're trying to, you know, introduce kids to a wide range of cuisines. And so this week we're doing a tres hermanas salad, where it's beans, corn, and squash, and then we're making the homemade tortilla.
Oh my gosh.
And next week we're doing a lesson on food waste and stretching your food dollars. So we'll do a carrot top pesto, and
holy smokes.
Yeah, we'll teach them to make a pesto, and we'll use the lime zest and lemon zest so that they understand you can eat that part of the citrus as well. And then we'll the following week we are making spring rolls, so the kids learn to use the rice papers. Yeah, we make a lot of delicious food.
Yeah. And do they sometimes have requests? Like, can we learn to make
XYZ?
Not really. So they are just so excited to learn something new. Yeah. And they'll tell us the things that they make or that they went home and tried something new and different.
And, you know, you're raising an educated next generation, an empowered next generation, a healthier next generation, and maybe the next chefs of the future. I think people forget that the finest chefs in the world are men. And I think, kids sometimes, that's not my wheelhouse, but cooking is awesome.
So we're 7 years old now. So one of the very first kids that we worked with, he is now working at Selin's on the weekends. He's in high school.
That is so awesome.
It is. And that Selin's has also been a great partner of ours. Yes. So it's just been fantastic.
Well, if people want more information, there's so much going on. There's a wish list. There's ways to volunteer. There's ways to donate, sponsor a hero. Talk about that.
Yeah. So that's essentially our $186 a kid. And right now, like I mentioned, we have just under 400 kids that are not funded that we're delivering our free program to out of the kindness of our hearts, and we have bills to pay. And so we would love it if we could get every single kid funded that is in our program. So $186 or just $15.50 a month can make that happen.
And your website has information about different places to find information about food literacy, the topic. There's information about the programs, that the kids, all kinds of good stuff all on one website, and that website would be
foodliteracy.org. We have our recipes there as well.
Oh, cool. If you had one wish as we head into the holiday season, what would it be?
Health for every kid.
Yeah.
Good health for every kid.
You're 20,000 kids a year on your way to that project.
Exactly. A lot more to go.
Amber Stott, Executive Director / Chief Food Genius of the Food Literacy Program. Thank you for what you do. And thanks for coming in, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. You've been listening to The Public File. Comments on today's show can be addressed to me, Kat Maudru, at kat.maudru@entercom.com. And as always, thank you so much for listening.